Hi everyone, you are tuning in to our podcast today on the topic of digitalization. Today, we focus our attention on tokenization of real-world assets. This area has gained attention for many players globally, including the financial services industry. I'm Peter, the host for today. I have with me Yeo Lay Geok, who is the founder of LG&D, and she will lead us through the discussion of tokenization with blockchain technology. Lay Geok is a consultant in regulatory strategy and compliance with over 2 decades of experience in the public and private sectors. So Lay Geok, what is the global attention on tokenization with blockchain technology about? And why the private sector attention on real-world assets?
Thank you, Peter. Now let me first talk about blockchain technology, which was made popular in recent years. And we have seen its different use cases in cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin and non-fungible tokens. Now, in tokenization with blockchain technology, the tokens are representation of assets that allow information and value to be transferred, stored, and verified with efficiency and security in the blockchain system. Now, these tokens can represent tangible assets or intangible assets, and these assets include real estate, shares, bonds, artwork, intellectual property rights, etc. Now, there has been initiatives in recent years for issuers to tokenize assets and sell them in fractions to many investors. It is a strategy for issuers to gain economies of scale and provide the means for the mass market to invest in assets that were originally out of their reach due to the huge ticket size. Now, tokenization enabled by blockchain technology potentially makes the processes involving issuance and trading of tangible assets more efficient, such as shortening the settlement cycle, which reduces this settlement risk. In essence, any asset can be tokenized if there is a benefit out of it that cannot be achieved in traditional finance. So let me give you some use cases in the tokenization of real-world assets. Now, for example, in October this year, JP Morgan Chase & Company carried out its first collateral settlement for customers using its blockchain network. Its tokenized collateral network was used by BlackRock Inc. to convert shares in one of its money market funds into the digital tokens, which were then transferred to Barclays PLC as collateral for an OTC derivatives trade. This collateral was moved almost instantaneously instead of over the course of a day that you tend to see in traditional finance. Now, we also noted that a licensed digital asset exchange in Singapore called SDAX Exchange facilitates issuers to fractionalize real-world assets to list for access to the accredited and institutional investors at its exchange. Now, one issuer that we noted, the Straits Trading Company, had tapped into SDAX to list a tokenized token which offered exposure to a freehold condominium at a prime district in Singapore some time ago. In February this year, we also see that the Hong Kong government became the first government in the world to issue a tokenized green bond. Now, this is very interesting because it combines the bonds, the blockchain, and sustainable finance concepts. And the settlement time was also shortened to T+1 basis compared to the traditional settlement time of T+3 basis.
Thank you, Lay Geok. So what are some benefits in tokenization of real-world assets that you see?
Oh, thank you, Peter, for your question. So let me use 3 different perspectives to explain the benefits. Now, if I come from an investor's point of view, I believe that tokenization of real-world assets would provide an option for investors to invest in a variety of assets, including the less liquid assets. It will also provide a revenue for investors to seek out interesting assets to place as part of their portfolio without a huge commitment to such assets. Now, if I come from an issuer's perspective, the tokenization would serve to allow issuers to reach out to many more investors in the market. Investors don't have to own the entire share, they just have to go through a fractionalized ownership of tokenized assets. So I see a potential for higher liquidity in the trading of such tokenized assets in the market. Now, if I'm coming from a counterparty's perspective, I believe that tokenization would help to mitigate settlement risks and hence provide me as a counterparty greater bandwidth to trade with other counterparties.
Once again, thanks for your insight. So, Legyok, since you are an ex-regulator, can you share some of the risks the regulator will be concerned about?
Thank you, Peter. Now, generally, the financial regulators would consider the implications of tokenization of real-world assets on consumer protection and financial stability in their own jurisdiction. Now, I come to the area of consumer protection at the beginning. Now, one of the key considerations in this area would be, would these investors, particularly the retail investors, truly and fully understand how tokenization of real-world assets work? Now, many investors in the retail market are very used to the traditional ways of investing in investment products like the unit trusts, REITs, etc. So they either use platforms or financial advisors that have been around for some time. Now, these platforms and financial advisors need to be licensed and regulated, and there are available safeguards set by the regulators, such as the need for adequate risk disclosures, responsible advertising, and segregation of customer assets from the financial institution's own assets. Now, a consumer can only be protected if there is a regulatory framework in place. So that's consumer protection area. Now, let's talk about the financial stability implication, which can be more complex than we think. Now, there can be financial stability implications for decentralized finance, or what we call DeFi, which involves adapting the DeFi protocols in the financial services market using the tokenized real-world assets. Now, such risk implications were highlighted by the Financial Stability Board in their paper called Financial Stability Risks of Decentralized Finance, which was published this year. And in this paper, it was mentioned that banks' involvement in facilitating the DeFi activities, such as tokenizing real-world assets, may raise additional operational risks, including the fraud, cyber risks, legal and reputational risks, and the AML-CFT risks. Tokenization of real-world assets by banks would increase the collateral pool available in the DeFi space, which in a way is an entry of the DeFi into financing real economic activity. Now, should these interlinkages grow, and to the extent that the too big to fail financial institutions get involved, there is potential for increase in concentration risks across DeFi and traditional finance. So the lines can become very blur, and that's where it creates more complexity. So what happens in the world? Some regulators already started to express their policy thinking and approach in their own jurisdiction. So let me give you a few examples. Now, at the Australian Financial Review Cryptocurrency Summit in October this year, the Assistant Governor of Financial System at the Reserve Bank of Australia spoke about the uncertainty around governance and risk management responsibilities. For example, as the cross-border and AML responsibilities do not disappear if you go into tokenized finance, so who is going to be made accountable if a smart contract on a programmable ledger goes wrong? Now, in another example, last year in October, the Monetary Authority of Singapore took an approach which is collaborative to start to work with financial institutions under a project called Project Guardian. This is a project that takes the opportunity to test the feasibility of applications in asset tokenization and DeFi, while the Monetary Authority of Singapore, or MAS, sought to manage the risks to financial stability and integrity. Now, we also noted that the Australia's Treasury is leading the work on a regulatory framework for tokenized assets, and the UK Financial Conduct Authority is also working with the Treasury's Asset Management Task Force on a blueprint for fund tokenization. We also noted that some regulators are even having combined efforts now to work on identifying potential risks and possible gaps in policies and legislation relevant to tokenized solutions. Now, just lately, it was announced that the financial regulators from Singapore, Japan, Switzerland, and UK would partner to advance digital asset pilots in fixed income, foreign exchange, and asset management products.
Now, from what I'm hearing from you of the different perspectives in the private and public sectors What then do you think will be the future of tokenization of real-world assets?
Oh, that's a pretty good question, Peter, and I thank you for that. Personally, I think there is a big potential for tokenization of real-world assets to grow for two good reasons. Now, firstly, there is a real case of digitalization of tangible assets that can benefit the growth of a real economy through the wider reach to investors and the creation of new jobs such as digital technology, risk, and compliance functions. Secondly, from the use cases we have seen, there is indeed the benefit of faster settlement of some types of transactions that would significantly reduce settlement risk and promote efficiency in the financial market. Now, however, given the recent adverse events in the crypto asset space, which also involves tokens, now blockchain technology and DeFi, I think that the regulators are taking a cautious approach to facilitate the tokenization of real-world assets that is still in the nascent phase. We must not forget also that regulators need to familiarize with the different risks present in the processes relating to tokenized solutions and decide if their existing regulatory framework can accommodate such innovations, or the regulators will have to come up with a new framework totally. I also think that private sector experts in blockchain will need to help to empower risk and compliance personnel who are generally more familiar with traditional finance to understand and to appreciate and to get used to the mechanisms of tokenization enabled by blockchain technology and know how to manage and mitigate the risks. Now, ultimately, regulators around the world would look towards the risk and compliance functions to be able to explain and assure the regulators that the financial institution has adequate governance and risk management processes for such models.
Thank you, Legio. We have come to the end of this podcast. We hope that our audience have enjoyed it. We have provided relevant references at LG&D website. Please also refer to the disclaimer relating to this podcast at the same page. Thank you for listening in, and do tune in to other topics at LG&D website. Thank you, guys.